fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to just conclude some reflections from this week on a wonderful little book called A Brief Reader on the Virtues of the Human Heart by Dr. Joseph Pieper. And what he's doing in the book is he's taking the teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, who imagined and taught very clearly what it means to be a Christian man or a Christian woman, what constitutes the Christian person at its most fundamental levels. He broke it down into the seven virtues, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love that are infused, given to us in baptism, and then the cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. And taking his cue from St. Thomas, he helps us understand that, you know, virtue is the fullest, really the utmost of what a person can become, what a person can be in this world. It's the realization of the human capacity for being. The being is what God created us to be, the truth about who we are. How do we enter into that truth? How do we agree with God's work in us in such a way, with our mind being able to grasp the truth of what God calls us to, what we're made of, and also the will to say yes to God's purpose? And so it provides such a contrast to the world and the contemporary view toward the pursuit of the good or definition of the good. It's realizing, it's a consequence of understanding that we're made, that we didn't make ourselves, that God created us and we're created for a purpose, and that he's given us a mind to be able to grasp the truth. And they're just simple lines he says in this thing that I think are so helpful and would be so helpful to be able to speak to the culture we live in and help them understand, because I don't think a lot of people grasp it anymore because we haven't lived it and aren't saying yes to it. For example, he says, to be open to the truth of real things and to live by that perceived truth, these constitute the essence of the moral person. What does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to live morally? It's to be able to grasp the truth of real things, the truth of reality, the truth of the human person, the truth of human sexuality, the truth of what justice demands in life, all kinds of things. He said, these constitute the essence of the moral person. I'll give an example. Talking about the virtue of temperance, he says, temperance, insofar as it keeps the person himself in order by vigilance and restraint, provides for both the realization of one's own good and the authentic progress of a man or woman toward his goal or her goal, the unalterable requirement for it. Temperance is required because it restrains our passions. For example, in the sexual area, chastity is an expression of temperance. Chastity is the right ordering of my desires in the sexual realm toward the good, why they were made, right? So one of the things we see in our society is a tremendous amount of intemperance or unchastity, the kind of redefinition of what sexuality and sex is all about in the first place. With the hookup culture, it's been reduced to a contact sport. The sacredness, the meaning, the dignity of the whole union of man and woman and its place and its language and its purpose is all subjugated to the desire, to the drive, to the passion. You see that in pornography, the ubiquity of pornography. It's become a plague on our country and in the West. It's the unchaste exercise of our eyes, subjecting our eyes and what the eyes made for to lust. Here's an example. He describes it here. I think it's important, a little bit philosophical, but it's an important way to understand what he's talking about. He says, there is a lust for seeing that perverts the original meaning of sight and casts a person into disorder. Okay, the original meaning of sight is to be able to grasp reality, to know the truth of what it is that I'm perceiving. And then in certain cases, to accept that truth and, when need be, to order my behavior in a right way toward the truth. And so he'll break this down. He says, the meaning of sight is the perception of reality. However, the concupiscence of the eyes does not seek to perceive reality, but rather just to see. That is, there's no pursuit of seeing. For example, John Paul II had this line. People asked him about pornography. He said, what's wrong with pornography is that it actually doesn't show the whole person. It pretends to show the whole person. For example, a picture of a naked woman. But it fails to show the full person, the whole person. That is the dignity of that person, the value of that person. And he's touching on this kind of unchastity of the eyes in this way. He says, however, the concupiscence of the eyes does not seek to perceive reality, that is the reality of the whole person, but just to see. He said, Augustine notes that the lust of the palate does not attain satisfaction, but only results in eating and drinking. The same holds true for the concupiscence of the eyes. Martin Heidegger, a philosopher, put it this way. He said, the concern of this kind of sight is not about grasping the truth and knowingly living within it. It's about chances for abandoning oneself to the world. He said, so pornography misses the whole point. That is, when someone's watching pornography, their lust is driving the perception of what they see. They fail to see the dignity of the person, and therefore, then, that's the reality of the person beneath the flesh. It's the whole person and the dignity and the value of that person. Failing to see it, then, we deny that part of them, and we indulge our appetites. So it's to live unchastely with sight. He said, and our sight was given so that we could actually perceive reality as it is, and our mind be able to grasp it, and our will being able to say yes to it. So the moral man, the just man, the chaste man, excuse me, in that place will say, look, I understand the desires within me. I understand the desire to look at something that's immoral, but I'm going to say no to it because I'm going to respect the dignity of all persons. I can't say yes to my desires, and at the same time, in this kind of desire, at the same time, being able to respect the dignity of the person. Instead, we get caught in the world, and his point is to say, the degradation into this kind of lust of the eyes, of the natural desire to see, can thus be substantially more than a harmless confusion on the surface. It can be the sign of one's fatal uprooting. Here's why pornography and the habit, the vice, the unchastity of it, and the vice ends up destroying the person, their capacity to actually see what's real and respond properly to it. He says, it can signify that a person has lost the capacity to dwell in his own self. That is, fleeing from himself, disgusted and bored with the waste of an interior that is burnt out by despair, he seeks in a thousand futile ways, with selfish anxiety, that which is accessible only to the high-minded calm of a heart disposed to self-sacrifice and thus in mastery over itself. That is the fullness of being. Again, a lot of philosophy there, maybe in terms of the language that he's using, but I think it's pretty easy to see. When we keep saying yes to the drive of lust and to use our eyes and to use the faculty and the power that God has given us to grasp the truth of real things, and we refuse to use it that way. That is, again, for example, to see the dignity of this person, the sacredness of this person, the perversion, the lust for unchaste sex, the habit, habituating ourselves to it, receiving it again and again, the eyes, the windows to the soul, it has an impact on the powers of our soul. It deadens something in us. And the more it deadens, the more we seek it. We seek what? We seek to escape the despair that it produces within us. That's why any guy I've ever talked to who's been really addicted to pornography, there's a deep despair and a deep sadness. And they know that something's broken and crippled within them, and now they become a slave to this. And then it impacts their capacity to have a healthy sexual relationship, even in a marriage. It makes it difficult to perceive the other. In that case, their wife, the full dignity of the person, have become habituated to simply seeing the flesh of that person, the body of that person, and then I covet it and I control it for my own desire. Instead of surrendering myself and abandoning myself and willing the entire good of that person, and that can only, the church in its wisdom teaches us so clearly, the only way I can fully say yes to that person and to grasp and to respect their full dignity in the sexual act is to be fully committed to that person in a lifelong commitment, in a covenant relationship. Because what I'm saying to you with my body, in giving myself to you, and we're opening ourselves one to another, and the two are becoming one flesh, one, in a sense, one new reality that's capable of producing life and sharing in God's creative order, this is the meaning of the whole reality of sexuality, right? This is the fundamental core of it, its end and its goal, in the expression of self-surrender and love, and willing the good of the other person means I see you as you are. I see you in your full dignity, your full being, and I say yes, I accept you, I receive you, I love you, I'm committed to you. The whole person that's there. That's why pornography and the kind of hookup culture that we're living in is a total sham. It's a lie. It's fundamentally a lie. See all kinds of studies now of young women who jumped into that lifestyle because they want to be hip, they want to be free, and you know, sex is what we make it, all the rest, denying its sacred value, the depth of the person, what happens in those acts. And they're depressed, lonely, isolated, despairing, because there's now a profound confusion within him. Because I engaged in an act which objectively is communicating something that I don't actually believe. I'm living a lie. I'm not speaking the truth. I'm saying one thing with my body, but I'm withholding my emotions. I'm withholding my intellect. I'm withholding my whole person. I'm keeping the depth of my spirit, my core, separated from that act because I've just turned this into a gymnastics event, right? A kind of contact sport, pure pleasure seeking. And I deny what happens when two human beings come together in that act. And it leads to despair. The unchastity leads to the habitual denial of the reality of what I'm engaging in. So back to what he was saying earlier about the reality of what it means to be moral, to be open to the truth of real things and to live by perceived truth. These constitute the essence of the moral person. So in the hookup culture, what am I perceiving? What's my reality, the defining reality in the moment? My pursuit of pleasure. I've reduced sex to pleasuring two people. And all kinds of folks are saying, it's fine, it's dandy. But what it does is it fails to grasp the truth of real things. There's a denial going on. That's why we're culpable. We will be culpable before God for our behaviors. It's not going to be good enough for us to say, I was just being true to my feelings. And she agreed and I agreed and I didn't see any harm there. Well, you didn't see any harm because you literally blinded yourself. You failed to grasp and open yourself to the full reality that's present in the act that you're engaging in. So you abuse it. It becomes a destructive act because all you see is the pleasure. You don't see the meaning of the act in and of itself. You poo-poo it because you know what you want. You're dominated by lust. And so unchastity leads you to deny reality, and denying reality makes it impossible for you to will the good, to actually will that other person's good. This is an eternal creature. You just use this eternal creature as a means. You denied who he is. So this stuff is so important, and Christianity brings so much wisdom and really brings the pathway to freedom by leading people to live the truth, to grasp the truth and to live in it. And of course, the Holy Spirit, we don't do this on our own power and our own will, but the Holy Spirit helps us and empowers us to become everything, the utmost that we were meant to be. God bless you, friends. Live in it and walk in it. Have a good weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in the year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.